The following special full-service radio program was made possible by Simplecast and The Line Hotel.
The human voice is music that works as a tuning fork for the soul. In times of trouble, it brings solace and comfort. We also find refuge in stories. They can people our solitude, allay our fears, comfort our anxieties, and instruct us in better ways to be. Hi, I'm Jessica Harris, and I'm going to tell you some stories and tales and read you some poems from around the world and right here at home. Some may bring a smile of recollection or a nod of recognition. Others may startle with their aptness to today's world. May they all help us find peace of mind, body, and soul. Why Men Have to Work, from Black Folk Tales by Julius Lester. The sky used to be very close to the ground. In fact, it wasn't higher than a man's arm when he raised it above his head. Whenever anybody got hungry, all he had to do was reach up and break off a piece of the sky, eat it. That way, no one ever had to work. Well, it was a fine arrangement for a while, but sometimes people would break off more than they could eat, and what they couldn't eat, they just threw on the ground. After all, the sky was so big, there would always be enough for everybody to eat. What did it matter if they broke off more than they actually wanted? Maybe it didn't matter to them, but it mattered to the sky. In fact, it made the sky angry to see itself lying on the ground, half eaten like garbage. So one day the sky spoke out and said, "Now look here, can't have this, Can't have you people just breaking off a piece of me every time your stomach growls and then taking a little bite and throwing the rest away. Now, if y'all don't cut it out, I'm going to move so far away no one will ever touch me again. You understand?" Well, people got the message. In fact, they were pretty scared, and for a while, they made sure no one ever broke off more of the sky than he could eat. But slowly, they began to forget. One day a man came by and broke off a chunk big enough to feed 40 people for a month. He took a few little bites, licked around the edges, and threw the rest over his shoulder and walked on down the road just as happy and dumb as anything you've ever seen. Well, the sky didn't say a word. But with a great roar, the sky lifted itself up as high as it could, and that was pretty high. When the people realized what was happening, they began crying and pleading with the sky to come back. They promised that they would never do it again, but the sky acted like it didn't hear a word. The next day, people didn't have a thing to eat, and they had to go to work to feed themselves. And that's why man is working to this very day. People Who Could Fly, from Black Folk Tales by Julius Lester.
When I saw him glad morning, thought I'd fly away, to my God's letters. Hey, I'll fly away, Lord, I'll fly away, hey, Lord.
It happened long, long ago, when black people were taken from their homes in Africa and forced to come here to work as slaves. They were put onto ships and many died during the long voyage across the Atlantic Ocean. Those that survived stepped off the boats into a land they had never seen, a land they never knew existed, and they were put into the fields to work. Many refused, and they were killed. Others would work, but when the white man's whip lash their backs to make them work harder, they would turn and fight. And some of them killed the white men with the whips. Others were killed by the white men. Some would run away and try to go back home, back to Africa, where there were no white people, where they worked their own land for the good of each other, not for the good of white men. Some of those who tried to go back to Africa would walk until they came to the ocean, and then they would walk into the water. And no one knows if they did walk to Africa through the water or if they drowned. It didn't matter. They were no longer slaves. Now, when the white man forced Africans onto the slave ships, he did not know, nor did he care, if he took the village musicians, artists, or witch doctors. As long as they were black and looked strong, he wanted them, men, women, and children. Thus he did not know that sometimes there would be a witch doctor among those he had captured. If he had known, and had also known that the witch doctor was the medium of the gods, he would have thought twice. But he did not care. These black men and black women were not people to him. He looked at them and counted each one as so much money for his pocket. It was to a plantation in South Carolina that one boatload of Africans was brought. Among them was the son of a witch doctor who had not completed by many months studying the secrets of the gods from his father. This young man carried with him the secrets and powers of generations of Africa. One day, one hot day when the sun singed the very hair on the head, they were working in the fields. They had been in the fields since before the sun rose, and as it made its journey to the highest part of the sky, the very air seemed to be on fire. A young woman, her body curved with the child that grew deep inside her, fainted. Before her body struck the ground, the white man with the whip was riding toward her on his horse. He threw water in her face. "Get back to work, you lazy person. There ain't gonna be no sitting down on the job as long as I'm here." He cracked the whip against her back, and screaming, she staggered to her feet. All the work had stopped as the Africans watched, saying nothing. "If you don't want a taste of the same, you better get back to work." They lowered their heads and went back to work. The young man worked his way slowly toward the young mother-to-be, but before he could reach her, she collapsed again, and the white man with the whip was upon her, lashing her until her body was raised from the ground by the sheer violence of her sobs. The young man worked his way to her side and whispered something in her ear. She, in turn, whispered to the person beside her. He told the next person, and on around the field it went. They did it so quickly and quietly that the white man with the whip noticed nothing. A few moments later, someone else in the field fainted, and as the white man with the whip rode toward him, the young man shouted, "Now!" He uttered a strange word, and the person who had fainted rose from the ground, and moving his arms like wings, he flew into the sky and out of sight. The man with the whip looked around at the Africans, but they only stared into the distance, tiny smiles softening their lips. "Who did that? Who was that who yelled out?" No one said anything. "Well, just let me get my hands on him." Not too many minutes had passed before the young woman fainted once again. The man was almost on her when the young man shouted, "Now!" and uttered a strange word. She too rose from the ground, and waving her arms like wings, she flew into the distance and out of sight. This time the man with the whip knew who was responsible, and he pulled back his arm to lash the young man. The young man yelled, "Now! Now, everyone!" He uttered the strange word, and all of the Africans dropped their hoes, stretched out their arms, and flew away, back to their home, back to Africa. That was long, long ago, and no one now remembers what word it was that the young man knew that could make people fly. But who knows? Maybe one morning, somebody will awake with a strange word on his tongue, and uttering it, we will all stretch out our arms and take to the air, leaving these blood-drenched fields of our misery behind. As I was preparing these stories, I found a letter to me from my mother, who has been gone for 20 years. Here are her words of advice for these times. You can do this. We can and will if we stick together. And so, until next time.
You would, you gotta give in, so I'll be good.